Nylander in the Oilers' own sharp angle shot. He scores! Here's Seabrook, great circle, fires, he scores! He's leveled by Andrew Shaw with a thunderous check. Here's a loose puck in front, they score! It's Saad! Shoots, he scores! The Cat connects with a one-timer.
It's time for another episode of Blackhawks Crazy, presented by FanList.
Keith will move it ahead to Shaw, to Doc over the Sabre line, down the left wing, he scores! Kirby Doc! Here's Doc with the back, and he scores! Kirby Doc! The first two-goal night of Kirby Doc's career!
Chris Bowden and Joe Brand break down the latest storylines surrounding your favorite Chicago hockey team.
Each game I'm getting better and pushing myself to strive to be better.
That's hockey, baby!
Here's Chris Bowden and Joe Brand.
Hi, everyone. Happy 2020 and happy first Blackhawks Crazy podcast of 2020. Sponsored by FanList, I'm Chris Bowden, joining you after the Blackhawks 4-2 victory over the Detroit Red Wings on Sunday night, the opener of a four-game homestand. Flying solo this time because congratulations to my partner Joe Brand, who got married on Saturday night to Allison. Our best wishes to them. We're very happy for them, and hopefully it was the best night of Joe's and Allison's life. Here moving forward, congratulations to them. So we're going to grant Joe a little bit of a break here on his wedding weekend and fly solo with you. But you'll hear from Troy Murray here in just a second, as well as some player reaction following this 4-2 win over the Detroit Red Wings. In addition, we'll also hear from Dennis Gilbert. Had a chance to catch up with him probably a couple of weeks ago at this point, but just talking about his role here with the Blackhawks since he has been brought up, the job that he has done, and moving forward, what his hopes are to be a member of the Blackhawks long-term. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast is sponsored by FanList. FanList is the best platform for season ticket holders to sell their tickets. Are you a Blackhawks season ticket holder who sells multiple games? Get over to FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy, spelled FANLYST.com. FanList partners with multiple ticket marketplaces and lists tickets for sale across all marketplaces all at once. Sites like StubHub, Vivid Seats, SeatGeek, GameTime, and many more. And they do all the work. Multiple marketplaces will increase your ticket exposure, causing tickets to sell faster and for higher prices. Plus, FanList is free to use. Registration and listing tickets are free. And when tickets sell, FanList charges the industry standard 15% of the final sale price. It's the same rate that all those major marketplaces charge. There are no hidden costs or added fees to use FanList. It's the best way for you as a season ticket holder to sell your tickets. Go to FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy to receive a $20 bonus on your first sale. FANLYST.com/BlackhawksCrazy. Thanks to FanList for being our presenting sponsor. So, took a little blood, sweat, and tears as the Blackhawks, we almost had a flashback, it seemed, for a while to their second to most recent home game, that one before the Christmas break, in which they welcomed the second worst team in the league from a points standpoint, the New Jersey Devils, and all they did after building some momentum after a positive road trip was to lose to the Devils 7-1. They sat on that for 3 days, came back for a victory against the Islanders, then went on the road and had themselves a fairly impressive 2-1 trip. Probably felt like they left a little something on that table in that 7-5 loss to Vancouver. So the return home here on Sunday night against the Detroit Red Wings, who come in a miserable 10-29-3. 23 points, were 13 lower than the next lowest point total in the league. But what do the Blackhawks do? They fall behind 2-0. And I don't know if it was as much a case of effort or not wanting it in the first period. It was a case of a little bit of bad luck. They get an early power play. Patrick Kane, I think, double doinks against the post at the very end of that power play. Detroit gets one right after that, and they manage to score and break an 0-for-14 drought. And then they score another on a crazy bounce deflection in front of the net. And all of a sudden, you can kind of sense that the Blackhawks, knowing this is such an important four-game homestand here, maybe squeezing the sticks a little bit. But the effort continued in the second period, and finally, they're able to break through with the goals by Strome, and finally one from Dylan Sakura to tie the game. 45 seconds apart, those two goals came for Sakura, his first NHL goal in his 44th game. And then the 24-and-under crowd continued by lighting the lamp. Adam Boqvist, the eventual game winner about 9 minutes into that third period. And then Dominik Kubalík, his 12th of the year, the icing on the cake into an empty net, sealing the 4-2 victory. So without Joe here, we've decided to reflect back on this performance by revisiting our post-game visit with Troy Murray, and we were joined off the top of the show by Dominik Kubalík, as we mentioned, scored that 12th goal. And by the way, Kubalík now, over the course of the last 8 games, 4 goals, 5 assists, 9 points, and now has, as we said, 12 goals on the year, really starting to come alive as he matures into his NHL game. And the first question I asked Dominik was kind of sweating through this matchup against the Detroit Red Wings, knowing what happened against New Jersey a couple of weeks ago and managing to overcome probably a little bit of pressing in this game as Detroit eventually took a 2-1 lead that the Blackhawks would overcome.
Yeah, I think right away from the start, we knew it's going to be a tough game. Obviously, no easy game in this league. So we tried to make a good start, but didn't work that well, I would say. But I think that wasn't that bad. I mean, they scored 2 goals, but I think we were pretty good. Just didn't score, so I'm really happy that we came back.
Troy Murray's up in the broadcast booth. He has some questions for you as well.
Yeah, Dominik, I agree. You guys hit a post, a crossbar in the first period. They scored a power play goal and then got a lucky redirect in the high slot area by Glenn Denning. But overall, you guys battle hard in this game, and you look at your opportunities. You had your goal, couple plus two in this one, 3 shots on goal, had 4 hits in this one. But I want to go back to the breakaway. Eye contact with Duncan Keith, perfect pass by him. You're heading in all alone. Did you have a thought in your mind that you were going to go to the deep before you got across the blue line?
I'm not going to lie. Like, always there's a loose puck, and I'm trying to, like, hoping our defenseman is going to get it. I'm trying to a little cheat, you know, to be in the breakaway. So I'm really happy it worked. But I tried my kind of like my move. I think I didn't do it, like, good. So
he wasn't anyway. Sure he made the save. He did not you know, he wasn't sure that that puck didn't squeak through.
I wasn't sure too.
Well, he was right, you were wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you still end up with goal number 12 of the year. And another thing I kind of noticed here on the stat sheet, and granted, you know, you go to build from building to building, you don't know what you're going to find out on some of these columns here on the stat sheet here, but I see you totaled 29 hits over the last couple periods, and you're one of the forwards very quietly who has been among the league leaders or the team leaders on this team in terms of physicality, the number of hits, and how much of that was a part, something you guys made it a point to in order to try and change momentum in this game.
Yeah, for sure. I think it brings lots of energy, you know, for the boys when something happened like that, when you got like a big hit or when you're finishing your checks, and even brings me the energy, you know, because sometimes there's some shifts when you're just, you know, kind of like skating, doing kind of nothing, you know, because the puck is going the other way. So you're just trying to do something what is going to make you feel better and what's going to make feel like everybody better. So yeah, I think it's part of my game, so I'm really happy that it's working.
Well, you're talking about something that can spark the team, get some energy in it. How about Dylan Sekera getting his first goal in the National Hockey League? It's been a long time coming. He's worked hard. I thought the last 3 games he's played extremely well. He had a couple assists in Calgary, had some chances in Vancouver. How happy were you guys for Dylan Sekera to be able to tie the game up at the end of the second period?
Very happy for sure. You know, always when somebody scored the first goal, it's always something special. So really happy for him, and I think, like you said, he deserved it. So really happy that he scored his one, and hopefully it's gonna keep going.
Well, you scored your first NHL goal in your second NHL game here in the home opener. Can you even imagine the mental battle you have to go through? This was his 44th NHL game, covering a span of 3 seasons now. Okay, can you imagine, you know, the difficulty of just trying to get over that mental hurdle, and he had himself a wide open net right there on that rebound too.
I'm pretty sure he didn't believe he's going to score that one. But no, I mean, obviously, like after a couple of games, you know, you don't want to think about it. But I think it's like for the forwards, it's always tough when you're done producing. You're just trying to battle through, trying to get the bounce on your stick, but sometimes, you know, it's not working. So I'm really happy that the bounce went right away on the stick. It was a backdoor. So really happy for him, and I think he deserved it for sure.
You look at the successful road trip. The Vancouver game was a wild and crazy one, but two out of three victories on that road trip. You come back in, and you know how important this four-game home stretch is. You guys have been 500 all season long at the United Center. What do you guys need to do to continue to play well and get some victories here at the United Center?
I think we're playing pretty well on the road. We just need to bring that, you know, urgency, that confidence, what we got on the road, you know, to be patient, stick with the game plan, what we got. So, and I think today we were patient. We're battling hard, and it turned to our way. So, I think that's the way what we need to play, and we're really excited for the next game at home.
A couple more from each of us, and we'll cut you loose, and we appreciate you spending some time here with us. First time here, playing in the league as a rookie. Do you pay much attention to the standings this early in the season? I mean, there has to be a certain, if you do glance at them, there has to be a certain level of frustration. This Minnesota-Calgary game today goes to overtime. It's another three-point game where teams in front of you are at least gaining one. How frustrating does that get if you pay much attention to it? Do you try to block it out? And I'd imagine whatever it is, it adds to the urgency here from this game on moving forward.
Yeah, we're just going game by day, game by game, you know, because we know that if we're going to be successful, if we're going to do the right things, what we did last couple of games, it's going to bring us the points we need, you know. So we just need to stay with it. And I mean, I'm not a personally, I'm not a guy who's looking at standings like in the middle of the season, because it's still lots of games in front of us. But obviously, we know where we at, you know. So we just got to battle, and believe that we're going to make it.
Dominic, I look at this team, and you know, the ability to score goals is there. Jeremy Carlson, after the Vancouver game, says we have to find ways to tighten it up defensively if we want to be consistent and able to win some games and put a string together here. What is he talking about of what you guys need to do better defensively?
I mean, especially like for us, for the forwards, I think we're doing a good job in the offensive zone, but sometimes we're not covering back, you know. We just need to stay above their forwards, you know, to have numbers back, then don't give them those admin rushes in, you know, every game. There's many of those, so that's what we're trying to protect, and we know we're gonna score. We just gotta take care of the D zone, and that's, I think, one of the biggest things.
Great stuff. I appreciate you stopping by. Before I let you go, an interview with you wouldn't be complete unless I asked about the toughest Chihuahua in all of Chicago. How's Rocky doing?
Rocky's doing great. He's all over the building, so he's doing great. He's getting bigger and stronger, so that's good.
A lot of Chicago steaks or deep dish pizza you're feeding him?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Watch it. You've got to be on a training program. Dominic, thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Congratulations on the win. Dominic Kubalik joining us here after the Blackhawks 4-2 victory over the Detroit Red Wings. He sealed the deal with his empty net goal, his 12th of the year. Got to ask about Rocky the Chihuahua, the toughest Chihuahua in all of Chicago. But Troy, as we move forward here, just a nice, easy walk in the park win here against the league's quote unquote worst team by point total, huh?
Well, you know what? I think that what we were talking about after the first period really kind of came into effect here, where, you know, the Blackhawks had a little bit more urgency in their game, and I'm not being, and I don't want to be disrespectful to Detroit. But you know what I mean? They don't have the depth, and some of their veteran players that they brought in just haven't had good seasons. Some of their aging veterans that they have on the roster have been disappointing this season. Advocator, I've loved the way that he's played for the Red Wings. You know, this was his 26th game, and he's got no goals, and he needs to be a guy and he's got good leadership skills. But Franz Nielsen, one goal on the season, I mean, fourth year of a six-year deal where he's making over $5 million. Those aren't numbers that you're looking for. Phil Pula was brought in for 1 year. I think 1 year, whatever it is. Maybe it's 2 years. But, you know, he's only had three goals on the season. So the impact of some of the veteran players that they thought would help out some of the younger guys just really kind of hasn't come to fruition. And I think teams look at it and they see where Detroit is on the standings. And they don't go into the game as intense or prepared as they should. But after you realize how hard Detroit works, you have to elevate your game, and I think that that's what you saw in this game tonight. Once the Blackhawks started to get some momentum, started to find their energy in their game, Detroit started to scramble around, and they had some issues, and the Blackhawks were able to score those two goals in the second period and then control the game in the third period. I think that for Detroit, it's frustrating because they are working hard. I think for their head coach, Jeff Blashill, it's disappointing, and this is fifth season as the head coach, that he's not getting better results out of the effort that he has. But the reality is they just don't have the higher level skill on their roster that they did. And they're dealing with some major injuries. DeKaiser on the defensive, Mantha, Athanasiou is a very fast player as well. So they've had some injury issues, and you can't make excuses because we talked about that. But the ability for the Blackhawks to start to raise their intensity, to raise their emotion, finally separated themselves from the Red Wings, and I think that's basically what you've seen all season long when John was talking about their first period numbers compared to second and third, nowhere in comparison, because teams understand that, hey, listen, this team works hard. They're for real. You know, if we don't compete and if we don't work hard for 60 minutes, we're going to find ourselves in trouble, and that's where Detroit is, and that's where the Blackhawks, I thought, did a good job of keeping with it, making sure that they did everything that they could, waiting for that one opportunity. And the game of hockey is taking advantage of the opportunities, the breaks when they arise. And the Blackhawks got a real good effort by Alex DeBrincat to get in behind the net, set up Dylan Strome, who rang one off the post, and then everything started to fall in together. And I think for Detroit, as we talked about, once you planted that seed of, oh, here we go again, they started to panic a little bit. They didn't execute like they did in the first period, and that gave the Blackhawks more rhythm and had them on their toes and the Red Wings on their heels.
I think we've seen a little bit different Dylan Sakura since given this second chance after, what did he say, 8-9 games or so. Seems to be at a different level right now, and you hope that takes another step after finally getting the 800, 1,000, 1,200-pound gorilla off his back here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good kid, and you know what? There was a lot of pressure on him when he came out of Northeastern. Everybody was talking about Dylan Sakura, and signing Sakura was a, you know, a big thing that they did. And it's just not that simple to step in. Some guys can do it at a younger age. Some guys, you know, have that ability. And for Dylan to go through the struggles, to come up at the end of the season, and then not produce the way that he was hoping to, then spend some time in the American Hockey League, get an opportunity, be sent back down. Now, it's a learning curve, and he's learning to play at this level. It's not as simple as people think it is. Oh, you know what, you can just come out and do it. There's a big learning curve, and even times when you're looking at it, he's maybe sometimes better off being here and sitting out because he's a part of it. He understands, he sees how hard a guy like Duncan Keith or Patrick Kane works. And I think that when Jeremy put him back in, when Nylander had some, you know, some inconsistency in his game, and Jeremy said, you know, he needs to step up. The game against Calgary, he was great in that game. That was his best game in the NHL. He had a couple of assists in that one. I thought he set up some really nice plays, made some nice plays in Vancouver, didn't get any points out of it. But you see the progression of maybe something that you didn't see when he first came up there. And that's a sign of a player just, you know, figuring out what it takes to play. And he knows that he can't have inconsistency in his shifts, inconsistency in his games. And I think that he had that at the beginning. Alex Nylander, 3 years younger at 21, is still going through those issues. And hopefully for both of those players, when they have the opportunity to be playing, that those inconsistencies are taken out of their game. It's not going to be perfect, but at the same time, when you see the same kind of things happening, and the one thing that I'm liking from Dylan Sakura's game is his ability to play away from the puck. He's tracking the puck much better. He's more tenacious on the forecheck. He's making plays with more confidence when he has the puck. And those are all things that you can look at and see from up here and understand that the progression is heading in the right direction.
From the younger kids, as we wrap up here, to the 35-year-old goaltender who had played just 30 minutes of action over the course of the last seven games, had lost his last four decisions. His last win came a month ago on Monday against New Jersey in that shootout victory there. Corey Crawford gets the net back. And for all intents and purposes, yeah, you want to get into the game, take a couple of shots there. I don't know if there's anything Corey could have done on either of those goals. And this was a nice restart for Corey. We still don't know, you know, what Robin's situation is going to be with how long he's been out. But Corey, for him to get this one under his belt is really nice.
Yeah, and I think that for the Blackhawks, you know, if you look at the special teams in this one, they had an early opportunity, didn't generate a whole lot. Patrick Kane did hit the post late in that power play. And then Detroit coming right back, and Zadina, who was the third star of the game, man, he just lasered one right up into the top corner. Corey, I think, was surprised because that shot was just perfect. There wasn't any room for error. Just found that little crook of the net just above the left shoulder of Corey Crawford. And then there's nothing you can do on the second one, and all of a sudden Detroit's up 2-0. You feel for Corey because really nothing you can do on those first two. But after that, he was really solid. He did an excellent job. I thought that his ability to play the puck and be an effective extra defenseman back there was a big factor in this game. I'm really happy for Corey. And, you know, we knew that Corey would come in, and we would hope that he would have the strong game the way that he did, because he's a quality guy. He's a great goaltender. He's won a Stanley Cup. And it's not easy for him to sit back and watch Robin Leonard, but Leonard was the hot goaltender at that time. So, you know, Corey has got the net right now. We don't know, as you said, how the condition is of Robin Leonard is moving forward. But this is a real big step for Corey Crawford and his confidence, knowing that, hey, listen, I can get the job done. He said earlier yesterday, I think after practice, that I still have a lot of confidence that I can be a big factor in this team. And he was tonight.
And he faced just 21 shots on goal, a walk in the park, Troy.
When the game was 2-0, he made some big saves, and that's really important. I mean, you know, you looked what happened in the game against New Jersey, and he wasn't able to come up, and he was the first guy to admit it. I need to come up with that big save at the right time. When the score was 2-0, he came up with a couple big saves, and, you know, you never know if one of those goes in, and all of a sudden the confidence of the group in front of him or the confidence of him drops a little bit. You might be in a position where, now the score gets away from you. So he did an excellent job of being down 2-0, but not getting sidetracked in what he needed to do.
Continuing now about Corey Crawford, you heard some of the numbers there, just 30 minutes of playing time over the last seven games. Don't know what Robin Leonard's situation is, as, you know, we had to do a practice Monday, another game on Tuesday against the Calgary Flames here. What we can tell you, last we heard as we record this, is Jeremy says they're still evaluating the severity of the injury. He's listed as day-to-day. But we have seen Robin leaving the locker room after both Saturday's practice and after Sunday's morning skate, and wasn't showing any type of noticeable limp, wasn't showing any type of brace or support for that knee. So that is certainly encouraging that hopefully this is a short-term injury. But on to Crawford now. Had to knock some rust off a little bit, but as he spoke with reporters after this 4-2 victory over the Detroit Red Wings, getting his seventh victory of the year and getting this one under his belt after losing four straight personally.
Kind of in between on plays, sometimes just little details come easier when you're playing. Just trying to get better as I go here.
I know Mark probably asked you about that. You start off this home game fairly critical, I guess, even though it's early. But I feel pretty good to get a victory.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be really good at home. We talked about that, and these are big points coming up, so just going to take care of home ice.
If there's a feeling in this room that you've got to put together 3, 4, 5, 6 wins in a row to get back in the team?
No, we're just worried about next game. Can't think too far ahead. That's been saying that for years. Just worry about the next game. That's all we can do. So it was a big win for us, a good comeback, and get ready for the next one.
Were you guys confident after when you went down 2-0 that there was still plenty of time and weak enough opponent that you could come back?
I don't know. That team plays pretty hard. I think we didn't let up. We just kept playing. So, if we do that, eventually we'll get our chances and we'll score goals. So, you just can't let up. That's the only thing.
Was there anything different about this game for you, having not played for four games in a row?
It was a little rusty. Just some small stuff around the post. Got to get used to that. Some traffic too. Deciding which way to look and just little things like that. But I'll get better.
I'd imagine it might be a safe bet to think that Corey might be in the net again for Tuesday's game against Calgary as this homestand here continues. Who knows? You know, perhaps Robin will be at practice, determine he feels good on Monday. That would be the best case scenario. But you know, as you bring him along here, no matter what the severity of it is, even if that is the case on practice on Monday, I would happen to think that Corey, just based on him being healthy and getting a game under his belt, might get the nod against the Flames on Tuesday here at the United Center. Dylan Strome got the Hawks on the board. Probably a big exhale as the Hawks were continuing to fight it about 35 minutes into this one, but he scored his 10th goal of the season. He now has, let's see here, 3 goals and 6 points over the course of the last 5 games. You'd like to see him get his game going on a line that's still been pretty good with Alex DeBrincat and Kirby Dach, even though Dach hasn't gotten anything on the score sheet. And get this, Strome and DeBrincat, the old buddies from the Erie Otters, have the exact same numbers on the season now. 10 goals, 20 assists for 30 points. And you would hope that they continue revving their offensive engines here. So here's Dylan Strome with some of his thoughts after the game, including talking about the fact that Dylan Sakura, his fellow Dilly Dilly, finally got on the board in his NHL career with a very big goal just 45 seconds after he scored. Here's Dylan Strome with reporters after the 4-2 victory.
Well, how nice to come home and dig out of an 0-2 hole and come back and get 2 points.
Yeah, I thought no, we didn't play too bad to start, just a couple of bad bounces, nice shot on the power play. It was obviously nice to get back on track. That we actually played pretty good in Vancouver, just not the results we wanted, and been playing good besides that, so got to keep it going.
How much does it help that you guys have gotten this depth scoring these last few games here?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. Nice the goals are coming from each line. I feel like when we can sustain pressure and you know, play 4 lines and we're just rolling them, and I feel like our second periods have been great, and you know, a quick change and changing the ozone, I think we stressed that, and we've been doing it in the past, you know, 2 weeks or so, and it's been changing.
How much did you enjoy seeing Dylan get his first goal after, you know, watching last year?
Yeah, it was awesome. I hope there's a bench reaction. We were going crazy on the bench for him, obviously. You know, it sucks. I mean, it took me 12 games, and, you know, I was thinking about it every single night, and I'm sure he was, too. I think it took him, I'm not sure how many, 40 games or something. So, you know, he's thinking about it. Guy can score goals. He makes plays. He's been doing it, you know, since he's been here, and it's just a matter of time, I think. Taser said today, he said he feels it today, Sicky, and, you know, he kind of gets that all the time, but I think this one stuck with him, and I put it right home.
You got a stretch of home games now. How important are these just to kind of get up closer to those playoff spots?
Yeah. For sure. We haven't had the best home record, so got to find a way to, you know, to continue to be good at home. We, you know, kind of threw that seven game homestand away at the beginning of the year, and, you know, didn't really take advantage of it. So I think it's our second longest this year, 4 games, and like I said yesterday, got to get 3, hopefully 4 games.
On paper, these are 3 beatable teams. Do you guys look at it like that at all?
No, I think, you know, you can't look at it like that. I think maybe the game before Christmas break, we took New Jersey a little too lightly, and they smashed us. So, no, we definitely can't take any teams lightly. NHL, any team can beat any team on any given night. So, we've been playing pretty good, but we got to keep it up.
Was there a conscious effort to shoot more opportunities?
Yeah. I think, you know, and the shot's there, you got to take it. But I think, you know, with the skill set a lot of guys on our team have, I think, you know, it's not the worst thing to look for the extra pass. And you know, I think we've been doing a good job of deciding when to shoot and when to pass.
Was there any sense of desperation coming into the locker room after the first period feeling to
us? Yeah, I think for sure. I think there was by the players, and coach kind of kept us calm. You know, he came in and said, you know, we're playing good. I think he thought we were doing the right things, and the bounces were going to go our way. I think we all were pretty calm. We had to get the energy level up a bit, but we did that, and I thought we had a great second and a great third.
I'm sure it has to be encouraging seeing goals scored from a group of younger guys.
Yeah, I mean, our team has a, you know, a lot of veterans and a lot of younger guys, so it's a good mix. A lot of guys with a lot of cup wins and a lot of experience. So
You know, not everyone's going to feel great every night. Some games the young guys aren't going to feel great, and the veterans are going to step up. And you know, sometimes the veterans, like I said, won't feel great, and sometimes the young guys got to. So that's a good mix, and you know, I like the way our team's playing.
Dylan Strome, some nice work with his buddy Alex DeBrincat to get the Hawks finally on the board there at the 15:07 mark of the second period on Sunday, and that kind of stoked the fires, and the Blackhawks would eventually tie, and then finally move ahead in the third period, never look back, finally pick up these 2 points that everyone kind of expected against the Detroit Red Wings, coming a little bit harder than everyone expected. Finally, Dennis Gilbert played in his 19th game for the Blackhawks this season. And in Sunday's game, had, let's see, a little under 16 minutes of ice time. Shared the team high with 5 hits, also added 3 blocked shots in this one. So for the season in 19 games, Dennis, who scored a goal in that most recent home game, also adds a couple assists in those 19 games. He has 69 hits and 32 block shots over the course of that. And don't look now, but he hasn't had a fight in a while. I think his last one came against John Hayden. And we talk about that and his role as quote-unquote enforcer here, but it's come very naturally in instances where Dennis has supplied that physicality and in certain cases eventually fisticuffs. Within game situations, you can make an argument that there's been a case or two where maybe he holds off until the next time you see a team. There was one case in that, like that against Colorado. But for the most part, he has gained a whole lot of respect in that room. And even though the games defensively for Dennis here over the last two or three haven't been necessarily as sharp as they had been in his first, 10, 12, 14 games, Jeremy Colleton's sticking with him in the lineup. Says he's a young player, there are bound to be some mistakes. But he earned that spot at times over Brent Seabrook being a healthy scratch. And eventually now, Seabrook and Calvin DeHaan, two veterans that this team was going to rely upon this season, they are now done for the season. And when I began this conversation with Dennis recently, we talked about him having this door of opportunity, and he's not happy about the fact that this opportunity opens at the expense of two very respected veteran teammates being injured.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you never want to see guys anywhere get hurt, especially teammates. And those are two pretty big pieces of our team too. So it's I guess a blessing in disguise in some ways for, you know, opportunity and things like that you mentioned, but I think it's more unfortunate than anything. And then as far, I mean, I don't really like to read into the situation, like, it's pro hockey, you know, anything can change in a day with a trade or an injury like this or something like that. Like, it can change all the time. So it's nice that maybe there might be a little more opportunity, but I'm not really looking into it as like, okay, I'm going to be here now or, you know, whatever. I'm just trying to get better each day and show that you know, that I can bring something to the table for the team each day.
What do guys like Brent and Calvin meant to you for your time up here?
Been huge. You know, Brent's an amazing teammate. You know, I like to say that we're friends now. He's a good friend too. He's a good man, good person, and even with what he's been going through, he's talked to me on numerous occasions. You know, if you ever want to come by the house or, you know, watch some film or something, like, he's very goes out of his way to help out younger guys. And I mean, you see it with Kirby living with him. But I think he goes beyond that, and he doesn't get nearly enough credit for the kind of guy he is and the kind of teammate he is. From everything that I've experienced. And then Calvin, new to the team, didn't know him at all before this. He's an awesome guy. I remember when I was in Europe with the team at the beginning of the year, he invited me to dinner like the first night we were there and took care of dinner. Like, awesome guys, awesome teammates, and like really good players, but better people.
Yeah. What kind of feedback have you gotten here during, you know, this most recent stretch you've been called up from teammates, from coaches, and how do you think you've done your job?
Not much feedback, to be honest. You don't really get a whole lot, but I think just the nonverbal feedback of, you know, playing consistently, playing a consistent number of minutes in different situations, and you know, being trusted on the ice against the MacKinnon line or the Scheifele line, stuff like that. That helps give you a little confidence. And then as far as with the team, I mean, I think just the team's problem has never been positivity or, you know, keeping keeping things light. Like, we're a really good group of guys. Everyone's very supportive of each other. And one thing that is really prominent, especially this time I've been up, but I've noticed it more, at least this time, is little things are rewarded. So guys block shots, and everyone's telling, hey, good job. You know, on the bench, then in the locker room at the end of the period, you guys, oh, remember that shot block by Carpi? Wow, that was unbelievable. You know, it's, so I think that stuff's kind of contagious, and it makes guys want to do it even more when it's appreciated. So it's been good.
I'm sure you feel the love, too, from your guys when you handle the tough jobs that you have handled here so far, when you need to stand up for some teammates. And they haven't been shy, it seems, in terms of letting them know how grateful they are for what you've done and how you've had their back, so to speak.
Yeah, it's not something that I'm crazy about doing all the time. I've never done it this consistently in my life before, but so I think it's just kind of like there's just weird timings and stretches where it just kind of happens a little more frequently than others, and this has been one of those stretches for me. But yeah, I think the guys, you know, appreciate it just as they got. There have been times over my career the last couple seasons where I take a big hit or take a cheap shot, and one of my teammates would, you know, jump in and, you know, handle the situation and kind of take it upon themselves to stick up for me. And I know that when I've had it done for me, it always feels really good, and you feel like, you know, it's a team that really cares about each other. And I feel like that's no different here. It's guys seem to like it. It's not something that it's going to happen crazy frequent as it has, but I think that just having the willingness that, you know, in your room you have 8-10 guys that are willing to do that for a teammate or even more. Everyone plays a little bigger, everyone plays a little taller, and I think it's good for guys knowing that, you know, we have each other's backs, and it doesn't matter if it's, I mean, you've seen DeBrincat go after guys and do stuff, and King go after guys and Taser, so I think it's a lineup-wide thing, and it's contagious.
And it's a uniform thing, too, because we were just talking here before sitting down formally about, you know, you and John having to go at it, former Ice Hawks teammates, too. How weird was that?
It was a little weird. I've known him for 5-6 years now, just from the draft and development camps and all that stuff, and all the college guys kind of group together and hang out and do stuff during that week. So I've known him for a while. And last year when I got called up at the end of the year, he was like one of the only guys I knew. So he was talking to me all morning and talking about the different drills at morning skate and style of play and everything like that. Like, he's an awesome guy. And it's kind of funny that it works out that way. But he's got a job to do, and you know, so do I. So no hard feelings after the game.
Any contact with each other after the game or no?
Yeah, we said hi in the hallway. But, you know, that's a part of his game and something that he needs to bring. So I'm, you know, happy that he got a chance to do it. It is on the home ice he used to play on.
Fist bump, no fist to the face for that.
Yeah, it was a little pat on the side. Say, hey, how are you doing?
Going back deeper as we wrap up here, I know you shared some of this a couple of weeks ago, in that your passion for accountability has to do with, you know, how you were raised, the family you were raised in, what your dad did for a living, and that kind of all ties together with, you know, what you've been doing here since your call-up, too, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes back to just doing the right thing and trying to be a good person, and, you know, I want to be someone that my parents are the man that I've become proud of, so I guess that it's crept into this, and with some questions I've gotten, how I've answered them. But yeah, it's just truthful, you know, how I've been, how I was raised. And my parents mean a lot to me, and they're a big part of my life. I'm in contact with them all the time, and just want to make them proud.
And just for, you know, background purposes, your dad, a police officer in Buffalo for how many years?
Retired police officer. He's been in law enforcement. He was in law enforcement for close to 30 years. He retired a couple years ago. He got hurt in the job, so those guys have a thankless job with all that they do and put up with and go through. So I always, whenever I see police officers here, I always say, hey, what's up, how you doing, you know, get them a coffee or something. Like, those guys have a thankless job, and it's hard hours, and it's hard on their families, and they do it for the community, and, you know, they're, for the most part, really good people. So I know that I've always looked up to my dad for being a good man, and I know that a lot of his morals kind of derived from that. So I kind of have a soft spot, I guess you will, for law enforcement, firefighters, you know, stuff like that.
Great catching up with Dennis Gilbert. Again, that was a couple of weeks ago. And again, ho-hum. We haven't seen him drop the gloves here. Sure, as soon as I say that, we're going to see some action here in the rest of this homestand. But Dennis Gilbert, plugging in really well so far for the Blackhawks here on the blue line. He's become a fan favorite and a favorite within that locker room. So as we wrap up here and sign off, after the Blackhawks do eventually take care of business here against the Detroit Red Wings, that leaves them at 44 points, back above 500 by one game as they prepare to take on a Calgary team that won, of course, in another three-point game on Sunday in a shootout at Minnesota. And as we speak, Edmonton and Calgary are holding down the two wild card spots at 49 points. That's 5 points better than the Blackhawks. However, the gap could be even wider because by the time the Blackhawks take the ice on Tuesday, Edmonton and Winnipeg will have played. Edmonton also standing at 49 points. They're at Toronto on Monday night. Meantime, Winnipeg at 48 points. They're at Montreal on Monday night. So we could be looking at a gap of 6 points for the Blackhawks still to play catch up here. They finished business Sunday 5 points behind Calgary, holding that second wild card spot. Actually, the same number of points as Edmonton here after Sunday night's action, but it could be a point greater difference from 5 to 6 by the time the Blackhawks take the ice in another, as you know, I said the team, very important game on Tuesday against Calgary. Then they take on a Nashville team that is right there neck and neck with the Blackhawks, even though Nashville has a couple of games in hand. The Blackhawks are right there with a disappointing Predators team, to be quite honest, so far this season. And so Nashville will be in here on Thursday, and then you take on an Anaheim team that is bringing up the rear in the Western Conference here along with Los Angeles to wrap up this homestand on Saturday. After that, the Blackhawks will play 14 of their next 19, as we said, on the road between Saturday night's game against Anaheim and then the first couple days of March. So Blackhawks on the road, which, quite frankly, might be a better thing with the way they've been playing here lately. Once again, we want to congratulate Joe Brand, as we said at the very top. Hopefully he's enjoying a couple days with his lovely wife, Allison, after their marriage on Saturday. And we will have him back here for our next podcast, which will come after that Saturday night game against Anaheim. We will have the wrap-up from the four-game homestand for you come Sunday morning. So check on that. We encourage you to subscribe to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, presented by FanList on iTunes/Apple Podcasts, or you can also find the links, as always, on WGNRadio.com. And Joe and myself and our great producer, Curtis Koch, will tweet out the links to those podcasts as well, both this one and ones down the road. But again, we encourage you to subscribe on iTunes /Apple Podcasts. So for our producer, Curtis Koch, for the absent Joe Brand, for Troy Murray, Dominic Kubalik, and everyone, we want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast presented by FanList, and we'll come back at you on Sunday morning. We'll see how the Blackhawks do on this four-game homestand.
How about that?
They won it!
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup!
Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, and join the conversation. And follow the guys on Twitter, @BodenTweets and @Joe_Brand1.
That was great!